rewrote my life. Amen. How many believe that mercy rewrote their lives?
Amen.
How many really believe that tonight? That if it wasn't for Jesus,
like
some people say, where would we be tonight?
Not for Jesus, where would we be?
So many times we sing things that we don't believe. If mercy really rewrote your life, if indeed you and me were bound for hell, having no hope in this life, born to be destroyed in a godless hell, no one to help us, but then Jesus came, took all and my sins away and said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they are doing. It's not their fault. I'll take all their faults. And then I'll transfer my righteousness to them. Then they can live forevermore. Then when we believe that, and we confess that, then we must mean it. You see, it's like the woman at the well. When mercy came to her and rewrote her life. From that moment, she was never the same again. Rather, she didn't need anyone to tell her what had happened. She didn't have to be told how to behave. The event that had happened affected her until she began to express it in a way that she had never done before. She had never gone to men like that, to a whole city, and say, come see a man that has told me all that I ever did. She was not ashamed of her past. She was not ashamed of her testimony. She was not ashamed of the Christ who came her way. That's why she brought the whole city. And they said, woman, we believe now, not because of what you told us, but because we have seen it for ourselves. Now that's put in the Bible for you and me. And when the same experience happens to you, the same reflection will also reflect through you. God help us tonight to understand the saints. When you hear of people going the way they are going, and it's people that you know, it's people that you are acquainted with, now don't let that be a ritual. Say, God, let me understand my life through what's going on. Because you see, when you don't have this understanding of what's going on, to you it will be just another thing that happened. Another family that lost a breadwinner or something. In the meantime, God is trying to show you and me something that we maybe we are missing, or something that we should really take time to understand. And through those experiences, God then brings that thing to our understanding.
So,
God is a God of continuity. So what he begins to do, he must keep on doing until it's done for the last time. So he's not just repeating things.
But
everything that he's doing carries a distinct stamp of God, of who he is, his DNA. Hope you get that. So he doesn't do things for the sake of doing it. My message tonight is the measured life and experiences. The measured life and experiences. So it's the measured life and the measured experiences. I pray through this we'll understand the message that we have today that Brother Branham brought and the why God gave it to us. The last generation. The last gentle distance generation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let's start by reading the Bible. While I express my thanks and appreciation to Pastor for his always gracious and opening up his pulpit for us to come in fellowship with you. We want to say God bless you, Pastor. God bless your work. God bless you in 2020. This is the year that they call it to speak about Vision 2020. May he achieve that by God's grace, the Vision 2020. Perfect, with perfect clarity. Vision with perfect clarity. Understanding what the will of God is and doing it. So we turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. I'll read a few scriptures tonight, so be prepared for marathon, but it all is going to be within the time. Try and compress it so that we will get the thought of it here. I'm in love the Lord this evening. I'm in under expectation this evening. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? God is good. All the time. In the good time, praise his name. In the bad time, do the same. In everything. Amen. Don't ever forget that. Hallelujah. Praise him through your hard trials. Praise him through the good times. Praise him anyhow. We used to sing a song years ago. Scripture Union in those days. Hallelujah anyhow. Never, never let the devil let you down. When trials and temptations come your way, lift your hands in prayer and say, hallelujah. Anyhow.
God must be praised anyhow.
Because
if you listen to the devil, you are worshipping the devil. If you listen to him, you are worshipping him. This year, so let's start learning.
Revelation 11.
Let's go to Revelation
verse
11.
Verse 1. Start reading it verse 1. Verse 2. To Zenda Revelations 9.
To Tanga
by 11.
To
Zenda
chapter
9. Got you verse 1.
You
got to read verse 1.
I'd like us to read this all at once.
You are too quiet, so I want you to participate. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Three things are measured. The temple, the altar, the worshiper. Everything is measured. God says, measure the three. The temple, the altar, and the worshiper. So if the temple is measured, if God has specifics about the temple, so he has also specifics about the altar, and he has specifics about you and me. So you cannot live a life, a so-so life. So-so.
How about that?
let
this be the end of so-so.
God is showing us something here. That when he does anything, it has to be perfect. In other words, it has to be measured. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, This is who you are. This is what you're supposed to be. This is the message that you've received. That's why the messenger you received had to be a special messenger. Specially called. Specially gifted. His experiences were foreordained and put in the Bible. And then they were explained to him by the angel. So if God could do that to him, what about you and me? The believers are the same message. I hope you see yourself there. The temple had to be measured. The altar must be measured. The way you approach him, your way of worship has to be specific. It has to be according to the words. And you have to be measured too. Your life must be measured. So that's why we say the measured life. Which is measured experiences. Because if you and me are the handiwork of the Almighty God, if we are the reflection of His handiwork, do you understand? Begin to understand why the first of all revelation is who God is. The Godhead is the first of all. In other words, you have to understand who He is before you understand His works. Otherwise, you give a false interpretation of whom, of Him. You and me must be the correct interpretation of who God is. So if God is measured, if God is specific, if God is unique, His works are the same. A man is reflected by his works. Alright, verse 2. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Okay? So we go to chapter 9. I want us to see something here too. Let's read together from verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the, and to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So God is specific about things that happen on this earth. It says, I saw a star. What does it say, verse 1? I saw a star come from heaven. Is that so? What does it say? I saw a star do what? Fall. From? Yeah, this one didn't come down on his own wish and desire. He fell from heaven. And he became a he. And he was given a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And things came out of the bottomless pit. Chapter 10. Verse 1. I saw another mighty angel fall from heaven. No, this one comes from heaven. Chapter 9, he falls. Chapter 10, he comes. Which means he has control over what he's doing and where he is going. The one in chapter 9 falls from heaven. He opens a dimension. The one in chapter 10 comes down from heaven and he's got an open book. This one opens hell, chapter 9. The one in chapter 10 opens heaven. Two angels all from heaven. One opens hell, the dimension of hell. The other one opens heaven. Because when he comes down, heaven is empty. Chapter 8, when he comes down, silence in heaven. In chapter 10, we understand why there was silence in heaven.
Chapter 10
tells us why. So we won't finish this. But suffice it to say, maybe chapter 9, let's just go down to, verse 5.
Chapter 9.
And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion.
Six.
And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Amen. This is a special type of locust. It's prepared for a specific work. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth as the teeth of lions. Verse
8.
Verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle.
May
the Lord add the blessing to the reading of the word.
We
want to bow our heads, a word of prayer. If you feel you still have a need this night, say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, help me, meet with me. I want to live a measured life according to your word, according to your will. You can raise up your hand, we pray together. Dear kind Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, the one who knows us from before the foundation of the world, like you said to Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And now, when you were in your mother's womb as well, I have ordained you. And now that you're out here, I'm sending you. So God, who knows us in our pre-existence, Father, even knows us now and knows us in our future. That's the one we are approaching tonight. And that's the one we are before. That's the one who has called us for this service tonight. And he has told us that his temple, his kingdom, everything about him is measured. Therefore, if we have to come to you, we must first of all believe that you are. And that you are a reward of them that diligently seek you. Everything has to be measured. Everything has to be specific. That's why everything has to be according to the word of the age, which was given to us by your prophet. So we are praying tonight that you'd help us collect all our thoughts from all over the place, all our feelings, all our emotions. Bring them all subject to the word tonight so that we can get the full benefit of this meeting, the full benefit of being in your presence tonight, Father. May you speak to our hearts. May you forgive our sins and our trespasses. May you, oh God, draw near to us, and may we feel, Father, that our theophany is near us, oh God. We know when you are near, all doubt vanishes, all fear vanishes. Oh God, the joy of the Lord comes into us. We can walk out of here with the spring in our step. May that be granted. And may all glory, praise, and honor be given to your worthy and wonderful name. We ask all these things, believing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take us in, saints. I want us to, thank you, sir, to be happy with the word. I want us to be happy with the Lord. There's nothing above the word. How many believe that? Everything you are seeing here is subject to the word and was ordained by the word. Amen. So your life and you being here, it's the word, man. Hallelujah. Our brother going away is the word.
Amen.
You and me are time bodies. These bodies here are time bodies. They have a time limit. Amen. And we don't know when they will expire. That's why you have to make every day count. What
does
that song? Make it count. Make it matter. Live your life too. Your life is not your own, eh? You are given it every day to make the best use of it according to God's word. That's why at the end you will be judged for whatever you did in this body. That's why Hebrews says, a body has thou created me. Hallelujah. So when you go, you leave that body behind. And you go to a more glorious one. Where there's no sickness, where there's no shadows. Brother
Mark
says, aren't you glad there's something, such a thing called death? Oh boy, if it wasn't for this message, brother. Where would we be? This message is what explains to you what life is, what eternal life is, and what this shadow is. So when you really know everything about life, you should live life in its fullness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my.
Amen.
That's true, saints. Yes, sir. You know, I was thinking about Brother Chiwaro when I was in there. That's what the late Brother Jeremiah said one thing some time ago in his church, and he said, you know, there's three brothers in the message those days who you cannot bind and put in one place, give limits. And he says, one is Brother G, number two is Brother Chiwaura,
number three,
I won't mention him. So he says those ones you can't denominate them. In other words, you can't put boundaries on them. They go anywhere. They go to any church and every, they fellowship with everyone. They have no enemies. They are brothers to brothers. I guess that's what we should all be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what we should be. Brother to every brother, sister to every sister. They can see you when you go, they can see you when you come. Wonderful. Isn't it wonderful, saints? Hallelujah. Let those who want to be enemies with you be that, but you be no one's enemy. That's what they say about Brother Branham. You could not know who was his friend and who was his enemy. Because he treated them all the same. Because you know why? It was the Spirit of Christ in him. Christ knew Judas was going to betray him. And Christ knew that Judas was a thief. The Bible says that, right? When he complained about the money, he says because he was a thief. Did you read that? But Jesus knew it. And yet he took him like a brother. He never uttered a statement. He never did that.
He never hinted that he had noticed that he was...
That's why they complained about Brother Branham and those two brothers. And those people write everything about Brother Branham. You knew those boys were homosexuals and everything else, but and then, if you listen to Brother Perry Green's testimony, he says, I was shocked when he said to me, Perry, you know those brothers stay in this place, let's go and show them some fellowship. So Brother Branham, I don't understand. After all that they did to you, you still want to go and show them some fellowship? He says, oh, Brother Perry, you don't understand. The Spirit of Christ in that man. And that's the same Christ we have. He's unlimited. You can't denominate him. You can't put him under a bushel and say you are not going anywhere. Doors in door. Any door you open, he goes in there. Hallelujah. Oh my, I love him. This is why I love him.
Oh
man. So saints, here we are. Your life and my life is measured. There's nothing with the sister saying here that happens without a purpose. Nothing. Okay, I'll read this quote. It just came to me when I was sitting there, I think. In Church Ages, it says, these things says the faithful and the true witness. Now, I want to show you what I find in the thought of faithful. You know, we often talk about a great unchanging God whose word does not change. Is that so?
Our God is unchanging.
He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we often talk about him as the great unchanging God whose word does not change. And when we speak of him after that manner, it's on the board, right? Whose word does not change. And when we speak of him after that manner, we often get a view of him that makes him seem very impersonal. Do we get that impression? That's where this statement comes from. You know, the old, in Shona, they say,
that says God helps them, that helps themselves.
Because to them, God is not there. So, it is as though God made the whole universe and all the laws that pertain to it, then stood back and became a great impersonal God.
Zvinoita kunge Mwari uyu akasika pasi rose nemirawo inoenderana nawo. Zvino Mwari iye akabva adzokera kumashure akadududza akabva aita kunge Mwari asiri wedunga munhu.
And he left everybody to themselves.
Ndokubva angosiya munhu achizviitira mazvake
mazvake. And God went somewhere.
Ndokubva anomira akari.
That's why he say every man for himself and God for us. That's where you get that. Because you see, every day you look, you don't see God. All you see is your neighbor, you see your manager, you see everyone. But you can't see God. So that's why when you are in a situation, you are prepared to appease this person before you. You lie to appease this one. Because as far as you are concerned, God is very far.
We will think about it later. But now, we've got to deal with the situation at hand. I must help myself. It means
whatever.
I must do this or
do
something. We'll see about God later because he's not around.
That's the nature of man. This is how it often seems. It is though God made a way of salvation for lost mankind. That way being the cross. And then when the death of Christ has atoned for our sins. And his resurrection gave us an open door to him. God just folded his arms and stood back. That's why we scheme things and we design things and we do things and we fight for ourselves now. Because in our understanding, God is very far. You might not say it with your mouth, but that's exactly what you think. Because your life is reflecting that. That's why you are prepared to take revenge in your hands.
That's, This is the natural man. Because as far as he's concerned, God is very far. God cannot avenge for me. So I'll get moody. I'll show them that I don't like what they did. I'll turn my head when they speak to me. This is man reflecting what he thinks God is. That God is very far. But if you believe that God was with you all the time, you'd never get angry. You'd never have an attitude. You'd never worry. You'd only believe. Because he can solve everything for me. He knows what is happening here. He's letting everything happen because he knows it. You believe that, saints? So he says, okay, he says, it is like we measured in believing in a great creator who, having created, lost personal interest in his creation. This is what we're trying to talk about tonight. When God created you, he did not lose interest in you. When God created you, he put the minutest detail. He didn't put hair under your feet. He put hair on your head. Eyes in the right place. Brain in the right place. Everything. Detail. How could you do all that and then lose interest in you? If he knows everything about your blood vessels and everything that happens inside, the doctors tell us, then he loses interest in you. He doesn't care where you go, what you do, how you behave. Something is wrong there. So let's stay with me. Let's go. He says, now, I say this is how too many people are apt to think. But that is wrong thinking. For God is governing in the affairs of men right now. God is governing in your affairs right now. There's nothing happening to you which he doesn't know. Nothing is going to happen tomorrow which he doesn't know. Nothing happens in 2020 which he doesn't know. Everything concerning you, everything concerning your child, concerning your husband, concerning your schoolwork, concerning your job, concerning your church, he knows all about it, and he's put his utmost attention upon it. You believe that tonight? This is who God is. That's his attitude. Do you know God does not go to work 24/7? He works 24/7 on your case. The keeper of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. But he's always watching over you. Now he'll never allow you. Oh, we are on that measurement now. To be tempted above what you are able to overcome. He's the God of measurements. He'll never allow you to be tried, tempted above your limit. Somebody say amen. This is God's word. When you see trials come your way, when you see your friend come up against you, when you see your wife come up against you, vice versa, you must understand, before the trial was allowed to come here, it had to be okayed. It had to pass through quality control.
Quality control.
God doesn't do things haphazardly. He says, I am the Lord, and I change not. If there was any people that should understand that, it's message people. Because here comes a messenger of this age. Look at his song, the song that he liked so much. Only believe. How many things are possible? To you and me? How many things are possible? Did he say, I have a knife in my pocket knife? That's 1947. That first message that's on the tape, he says, I have a knife in my pocket here. He says, let's say I'd left it on the dresser at home, and then I wanted to use it now. He says, and I had faith. He says, you know what I would do? I would believe. Then I'd put my hand here. He says, here in my pocket, I think there's an old Balo knife, carried for years. Now, I do not see that knife. I do not feel the knife. I do not taste that knife. I do not smell that knife. But I know the knife is in there. How do I know? Because I believe it's there. Now, if it is not in there, faith will put it in there. Now, these are not stories. What I want you to understand about the prophet's message, every type, every story he tells is carefully designed by God to be put there in that message, because he knew you and me were going to read it, and you are going to see it, and you are going to relate to your experience, and you are going to say, Mama, that's me. Amen. Everything put in this message was for you. That's why it says, if you read your Bible, read any scripture, and you don't see Jesus in it, go back, read it again. You have missed it.
What was put?
He says, if you read in every verse of the Bible, and now Jesus is the head of the body. You are the body. So if every line is Jesus, every line is the body too. So you must see yourself in the Word. Hello? Are you here? Oh my. Yeah, it is, saints.
Amen.
This is God. He measures your experiences. He measures experiences. Okay. I want to maybe go to a quotation here. Or rather, let's go to 1 Samuel. Quickly turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 20. I want us to see something so bad. Time is not on our side. I realize it's an evening service, but I'm trying to put as much as I can into this service, because I only come here once a year, you know that. But let's go through here, saints. So if I can say something that you remember, something that will help you in your experiences as a Christian, then my job is done. I don't just come to preach a sermon. I'm trying to relate something to you. Something that will help you with the walk with the Lord. Something that will help you interpret your life when you're out there. We must interpret our lives by the Word. Hear me, businessmen, businesswomen, students, mothers, fathers. Whatever comes your way, if you're a message believer, you must interpret it by the Bible. I was in Cape Town in November. I met one brother, a colored brother, businessman. He said to me, brother, my name is so-and-so. I'm first a Christian before I am a businessman. Are you hearing this, saints?
It
says, first, I'm a Christian.
Before I am a businessman.
We don't have time to explain what that means. It means faced with a situation. Your identity must precede you. That's why Abraham said to Lot. When their headsmen were arguing and everything was going wrong, he made this statement. Check it in the Bible.
It
says, we be brethren.
Hanzi isu tiri hama.
And need not argue.
Hatina chikonzero chokakavadzana.
First of all,
chikutanga,
we are believers.
Tiri vatendi.
Then from there follows everything else.
Then
everything else is governed by that.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we are reading 1 Samuel, are we? Chapter. Okay. Did I say chapter 10? Okay, say Samuel chapter 10. Sorry. I think chapter 10 I want.
Yeah. Chapter 10.
I want to sort of sense this so much. I've got Revelation 9. I know I read it, so we might say a few things from Revelation chapter 9. What you are seeing today is the manifestation of the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 9. This is why we have Satan's Eden. What came out of that pit, when that angel opened the bottomless pit, what came out of there is what's anointing people today. That's why there's all juvenile delinquency. That's why there's nakedness. That's why there's lewdness. There's all evil. Some men are breaking their marriage vows, women the same. It's the scripture. It's an anointing that is anointed people today, and they don't even know they're anointed. Because scriptures have to be fulfilled. Are we together, saints? And then there must also be chapter
10.
People that are reading from the open book, which came from heaven, receiving those mysteries, receiving the revelation of it, eating that book, and prophesying what they ate. So when the angel of chapter 9 starts manifesting, the one for chapter 10 also comes in to check. Checkmate. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's spirit raise up standards. Don't ever forget that, saints. No matter what trouble you get into, no matter what situation you get into, when Satan comes in like a flood, then you must be prepared to look around you and watch God's standards. He is never too late. He'll never forget his own. In fact, when somebody does you down, God is going to raise you up. Hallelujah. When the devil makes you sick, God heals you. Brother Branham says, what I lack in education, God has made up for in grace. So where there's this law of pro and con, that law of pro and con, where there's light, there has to be darkness. Where there's good, there has to be evil. Matthew 13, let both grow together. Let God grow what? Together. Same rain on this one, same rain on this one. So as much problems as you have, is as much grace as he gives. Simultaneous equations, right? Students, what is done on this side must be done on this side. If you're talking about accountants, then it's debit and credit. So you thought you were more educated than God. God did it long ago. What he put on that side must be put on this side. For every trial, a way of escape. When you are cursed, he blesses. That's God for you. He does not run his kingdom any other way. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Seek me, you find me. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's look at this. We've got a few minutes now. From chapter 10, from verse 1. 1.
Let's read it together if we can. Then Samuel, is a prophet, right? Took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, that's Saul, and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? So he's prophesying and he's confirming
that
God has anointed you, Saul, to be a king over God's inheritance. So Israel was God's inheritance. You are spiritual Israel. You are God's inheritance. We are told in the Bible they fought for their inheritance. And God will do the same too. Fight for his inheritance. That's why he gives himself a name. Oh my. He's Jehovah. The Lord is a soldier. He's a, watch the Lord in battle, right? Watch him fight for his own. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Tell him and see what he'll do. One place says, then the Lord raised up like a man out of sleep. One place he says so. And he fought for Israel. Amen. Okay. When now I want to watch from verse 2. When thou art departed from me today. Then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelza. And they will say unto thee, the aces which thou wentest to seek are found. And Lord, thy father has left the care of the aces now soaring for you. He's saying, what shall I do for my son? Oh, wait a minute. I want you to see the specifics. I want you to see what this prophet is saying. Are we together? If you were to ask Brother Aaron, our specialist surgeon there, when you're dealing with the brain, you have to be extra careful. You know, in school, you're reading about neurons and what, and to you, it was just theory. But to them, now it's life. Now, when God is dealing with you, this is what I want to point out. He deals with you on the same level. That's all I'm trying to show you today. So that when you go out of here, you must be conscious of that. That when God deals with me, he's not just dealing with me haphazardly. This is a man who is now going to be the king of Israel. And now God speaks through a prophet of that age. And he takes this one man and begins to show you and me the detail that God has over this man. And this man is going to be our tonight's type for you and me. Amen. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, he's been told when the moment you leave here, his very experiences are now detailed. You leave this place. You're going to meet two men, boys. What does he say there? He says, when thou art departed from me, verse, today. Hallelujah. When? Today. So from today, from this minute, that you have been under the microscope of this prophet, your life is now under the microscope. Whatever you're going, Whatever you're going to do, whoever you're going to meet, what they will say to you, everything is under microscope. From here, when you leave me now, you are going to find two men, not three, not five, two. And he tells where they will be. By Rachel's sepulchre. Not only that. Where is the sepulchre? In the border of Benjamin. At Zelza. Everything is details. Hallelujah. Everything is under microscope. When they do, I'm told, I'm not a surgeon, but I'm told when my brother Aaron and them do surgeries there, there's a list, a checklist. Because they might leave things in your stomach here, or leave things in your brain here, and you come out a bit loco, because of a spoon or a knife that has left inside, tweezers. So they have to, they know what is required. They have to put it there. Then they must mark it. It must be distilled. Everything. This is just to deal with the person when they are sick. Now, I want you to understand something, that when man does things, many times it's because of the God's anointing. Influence from above. The sweet influence from above. Now look at this. He says, when you leave me today, you shall find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelza. And they will say unto you, not to your neighbor, not to anyone, to you. Specific. Sister, you moved, we were staying at number so and so. Such and such a location, such and such a place. I cannot pronounce it, but I can spell it. Is that so, sister? And she says, yes. And then he turns and says, I'm not reading your mind. Specifics. Why was God doing that? You think it's just for the sake of for people to be healed? No, sir. He's showing you how much he knows you. He shows you how your life is measured. Everything about you is measured. So whatever you lack tonight, it's under microscope. He knows what you need. He knows when you're going to have it. If not today, tomorrow. If not tomorrow, next week. But do you understand something here, saints? Brother Ram says that's how you must believe him. You must believe he's done. You must believe it's done. You must believe that it's going to be today. If not today, it's tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it's a weekend. If not weekend, it's next week. Whatever it is, it's going to come. Because if you have been acquainted with him, your mind, your life is already under his microscope. Your life is now measured. The steps you take are measured. That's why he doesn't allow you to think whatever you want to think. That's why the Bible says in Philippians, whatever is honest, whatever is of good report, whatever is just, think upon these things. You cannot think what you want. You cannot think anyway. Your thinking is measured. It must be measured. That's why the Bible says, taking a hold of reasonings, bringing them subjects. Oh my. He knows everything about you. He knows your, he says he knows the psalmist says he knows the path that I take. He knows how many steps you took to go on this. He knows what you thought about this and what you thought about that. One time the prophet says to Pilgrim, don't think like that. He's telling you your life, your think, your thoughts are under microscope. The Bible says, and that man who built those two idols there, Jeroboam, son of Nebat. The Bible says that Jeroboam said in his heart. He didn't say it. It was in his heart. And God measured his heart. So watch out from tonight onwards. Your life is under his microscope. Your thoughts speak louder in heaven. Your thoughts speak louder in heaven. What the prophet told us, he was told, go and tell the people, the nations, that your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words. Then what type of thought life should we have? Right, let's go. Verse 3. Then thou shalt go on forward from there. You won't go into reverse, you won't go sideways. I can see you, you're going to go forward. Now listen, the man who's been told this is standing right here with the prophet. So he's being told about things that are to be. He's being told about his future experiences. Before he even walks into them. Hello? You're being told about what you're going to do tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but he says from here, from when you leave me. Just as soon as you leave me. This is when the foam roll is going to start. And your life is going to be there. You are the main character there. You are the main actor there.
You are main actor.
So, the title will be you. And my measured experiences. After I met the prophet of the age. Oh my. Yes, after I met the prophet of the age. Then that book became a new Bible. Then he begins to explain to you your very life, where you should be walking, what you should be doing. Because that Bible, that spoken word, is your life report. Okay. All right, let's go. Then thou shalt go forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up. First you meet two. And he tells them where you meet them. At Rachel, near Rachel's sepulcher, which is at that place. And then you are going to go from there. You're going to come, go forward. And then you are going to come to the plain of Tabor. And you shall meet three men going up to God to Bethel. The prophet sees them going to Bethel. The prophet can see them where they are going to. The people that are going to cross your life, they are also known. God knows where they are coming from. He knows where they are going. He knows when they intersect with your way. Right. He says, and then they're going to Bethel there. One carrying three kids. Not two. This one is carrying three. Not big ones. Kids. Specifics. About Saul's experiences that are going to come to pass. When he began to walk under the message of this messenger prophet, his life was now laid out for him. And no doubt when he saw himself walking into those things, he would say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in my life. I'm fulfilling prophecy. The life that I'm living is fulfilling prophecy. How many can say amen to that? Hallelujah. Three kids he's carrying. Alright, let's go. He says, and another one carrying three loaves of bread. I can see one with three kids. His other friend, three loaves of bread. Oh, hallelujah. And they're going where? To Bethel. To worship. They're bringing the sacrifice. Don't have time to break down all those things down for you. You know what the three kids are for. You know what the bread is. Then what happened? There's two loaves here. Something about two loaves. And another one carrying a bottle of wine.
Oh,
so you got the kid, you got the lamb there. You got the bread there. You got the wine here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You see that, brother? How about you? He's an electrician.
If he takes the red wine,
ne black.
And the black
wine. Ne die so.
One with so many.
Put this one there. So
put this one there.
Zakwa.
Then it's enough.
Okay.
Then there is fire.
So I'm not out to see Tigger Man's look on a quit. Can I not go grill? Can I not go grind? So I could have sheet.
If you want to do anything, it works.
So when you have the kids, when you have the bread, when you have the wine, something is going to happen here. So these are the three people that are in view. And then verse 4, look at that. And they will salute thee and give the two loaves of bread which you shall receive of their hands. Why is God taking trouble to say this? They'll give you. That's it, finish. But he's saying, no, they'll give you. And you will receive it from their hands. He's telling you, this is not just hapragatabra. I'm seeing you. I'm seeing your actions. I'm seeing your reaction. Your life is measured. What you do is measured. Your reaction is measured. Your action is measured. Everything is within his. Didn't David say, where can I hide from his presence? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too wonderful. I didn't know this. In 2020, things going wrong the way they are going, economic hardships and everything else. To get 20 kg of minimum, being a very prized possession. And God says, I'm watching you. I'm knowing you. I know you. I know you can only get so much from the bank, and I'm watching you. I'm watching your thoughts when you don't get money from the bank. I'm watching what you think when others have and you don't have. I'm watching what you think when you think of this. I should have gone overseas, but here I am. I'm watching everything, and I'm measuring everything. So he says, I see you receive it from their hands. Verse 5. He hasn't finished. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. Where is the garrison of the Philistines? And it shall come to pass, when thou art come there to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, a tabret, a pipe, a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. First it was two boys. Now there's three. After that it's a company of prophets. Oh my, from two to three to a whole company. From a stream to a river to a lake. And that's you in your journey. After you've met the prophet of the age, your life begins to have all those dimensions put to it. From a trickle, come to a stream, come to a river, then the whole lake opens, then the great ocean. From a light, when the prophet was in the cave, he says, I thought he was praying there, and then he says, I saw like a candle light. I thought, oh, they come looking for me. And then the next thing is I kept looking. That light got brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Then the next thing, ball of fire. And not only that, Then a man stepped out of that ball of fire. And he was 200 pounds. Olive skin complexion. With a stern look. From a candlelight to the ball of fire. His understanding was a candlelight. But as he kept on looking, as you keep on beholding, hallelujah, as you keep on hearing that word, believing this message of this age, something steps out of those books. Out of those tapes, something steps out. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of the Almighty God. And he begins to say to you, I stepped out of this message to explain to you the mystery of your misunderstood life. Oh, somebody believe this tonight? He knows my name. Does he know your name? Does he know the steps that you take? Does he know the trials you go through? Does he care about it? He cares. Do you care? Do you see the way he sees it? Do you believe it the way he believes it? Oh my. This is what the message came to reveal to us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In one message, he's preaching, recognizing your day in this message, I think. He says after in this message, he says, I want you must know three things. 1, 2, 3, 4. He says, you must know the very hour and time and sign and message that you are to receive. Says this message that I'm preaching, after I preach it, as I preach it, you must know four things. So it's not just reading it. Now today we've got so many people readers. Like they have in the Jehovah Witness, readers. They're good at reading, but they can't understand what they are reading. And then you see the arguments. Then you see what the attitudes. Then I preach this, brother, and I preach this. I preach more than anyone. It's not about preaching. This is the first 25 years, you know, brother and sister, the first 25 years. It says if you were, God was to ask you, which segment would you want to live in? The first, second, third, or fourth 25. So the first one, that's when you are trying to make an impression. If it's a boy, then you are trying to grow a beard and trying to be in a deep voice. That's the first 25. Then this experience. Then the next 25, they are a bit wiser. They are not appealing to the gallery. They are now looking for a career. When they get to the third 25, they are more knowledgeable than they were here. Maturity has set in. They're not doing things to please men. Because they can see this, the sunset is next door. You can see the brims of white hair. You can see some of them here, yeah, aeroplane landing grounds. And you can, you know very well. Then you must, if you are not growing, then something is wrong. If you're not learning, then you're not growing. So, this is not a platform for people to exercise and or whatever they want to over God's heritage. It's God's heritage. Treat them as such. And he'll bless you for that. Some things, you do it because of who they are. Because this is God's son, this is God's daughter. I'm going to overlook whatever it is, but I'm going to do it because it's like the pastor. I'm going to do it because that name. If you respect the man for his office, God will respect you. I hope you're getting that sense. Okay, so quickly, so you must say, okay, there's that quotation. It was there. It says you are going to know four things. You must know the very hour and time and sign and message that you are to receive.
So
in your knowing the message, you must know those four things. You must know the very hour that you are living. You must know the time that you are living and the sign of that time, and then the message of that time. So in your understanding the message, yeah, let's not sleep now, let's not vary. You must know four things when you say you believe the message. You must know the hour, the time, the sign, the message. Amen. Otherwise, you haven't known it yet fully. We said we don't want readers. God doesn't want readers either. God doesn't want just preachers. He wants people that will receive from God and then relay what they got from God, not what they read. Because it says, hearing, they will hear. And not understand. Seeing, they will see, but not perceive. So you've been the message 20 years, but fail to understand what it is that you are coming here for. Is this to fill up the seat? There's nothing in the scripture where God says every seat must be filled.
So
for you to make it that your preoccupation. Because you can fill these chairs with dead wood. You can fill these chairs with stinking wood. Stinking eggs, rotten eggs, he says. It says a bunch of rotten eggs in a nest. And then all you're asking for is trouble. You can be full of murmurers and backbiters and everything else. That's not what God is looking for. God is not into numbers. There's also Deuteronomy. There's also Exodus. There's also Genesis. Eh? So God is not only in numbers. We are finishing off. Time is not on our side. Verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. This is prophecy. I'm going to turn from here into another man. He's still with the prophet. He's being told things that are to be. Hallelujah. He's hearing it step by step. The prophet is not just putting a blanket statement here, but he's going step by step, line by line, about that concerning that man. And that's how God deals with every one of us. Now, he says here, verse 7, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Signposts, things that you are supposed to meet, things that you are supposed to experience. The last one there was the Spirit coming down, him being turned into another man. Let's go further. Verse 8. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings. So the prophet is seeing this man in vision, and he's seeing also himself in vision, and he sees himself walking with this man, and then he's seeing himself offering burnt offerings to sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days shall thou tarry. He's seeing him wait for 7 days. He's counting the days in the vision where that man will wait till I come to thee. So there's going to be a delay of 7 days where you'll be waiting for me to come. I'll come to you on the 7th day and show thee what thou shalt do. So So from that time, this is what I'm giving you up to that time. The next segment will only be revealed when I come to you. I'm going to show you another further part of your experience in life's journey as you serve this God under His anointing, as you walk with Him, as you watch over God's inheritance. Now, this is how God dealt with Saul. And now you must understand, when God deals with people in the Bible, He's setting a picture for the rest of you and me who will come. That He will do and act in the same way with us. Job's life was also measured, was it? Did God know what was going to happen to Job? Did He tell Satan, "You can go? Try him, but Job will never fail"? Yeah, no, he says you can do whatever you want to. So God saw him killing the children, killing the sheep and the goats and everything else, and all the numbers going, everything going. But you could still see Job standing upright. Then Job is one that tells us that God has measured. Says, what is man? He says, seeing that you have limited these days, you have governed these days. He says, even his breathing is also measured. He says, the waters, they are governed by the moon. He says, brother, the Bible says in Jeremiah, he says, I put, Jeremiah 5:22. He says, I put the sand there to make sure the rain, the waters don't go over it. So even nature is measured. Is that the fear not me, said the Lord, I will not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass. Though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it.
Did
you see that sentence? I was going to read these two quotations, but I won't read them. Brother Ram says this in Trumpets. He says when these people that came out of chapter 9, these demons that came out of chapter 9, he says, you can maybe not see them with your natural eye, but you can see what they are doing. You can see what they are doing, but you cannot see them with your eye. And then he says again, the Holy Spirit that's coming on you, he says, God is also, Christ has also appeared to you. Okay? Now you see what the beast is, don't you? It's a power, a classical power. Jesus said it would be so close, like the real thing. Surely you said the electric if it was possible. But He promised you something here for us in that day, that we wouldn't be deceived. And that's the word. Amen. So He says, Christ was sent to manifest. Says, I want you to watch that thing. They are supernaturals. Devils. Unseen to the eye. But you can see what they are doing. So by seeing people behave, whatever they behave, you trace it back to Revelation 9. So when you see believers behaving the way they are believing, there's an inner charge. The way they are believing, you can also see that they are expressing that angelic world. Your life is measured. Your life is governed. Your life, He says in this room, there's thousands of angels. Thousands.
zvikuru nezvikuru zvengirozi chimwaka chino
thousands
zvikuru
but you can't see them
asaugone kuzviona
fear not say the Lord
usatya
you will not tremble at my presence oh no I want that one the quote that says inner charge he says you believe Christ has appeared today he says yes but maybe you don't see him the way the natural person has to see
momone Kristu minzira inoonekwa nemunhu wenyama
he says but they were felt by the inner charge
asi vakazadzwa ndokanzwikwa ni
you can be felt
anogonanzwika
but by that inner charge yeah that thing inside you there's a charge iri mukati mako
pane magisha ari mauri
That's what will make you feel the presence of God. So there's two things now. The world has got something that they anointing them. And you have something also anointing you. So square. Okay. Did you get that one? Yeah. Did you ever think this morning as far as returning? The Lord has already returned. To become visible, He's already with us. Now, we someday, says now, just imagine that His presence being here today, the Lord Jesus is in another world or another dimension right here today in the form of spirit. His spirit is blending in with our spirit. Oh, yeah, did you read that? His spirit is what? Blending in with our eyes can't see him because they are physical yet. Unless there would be something happen that we could see vision. But he is here just as visible, just as real as the day he spoke to what Lazarus at the grave, right? Mary at the grave. Or he met Cleopas on the road to Emmaus. His presence is here. It can be filled with that, filled with that inner charge that's on the inside of the human body called the new birth. You can see devils not with the physical eye, but what they are doing. But you can see people also that are being influenced from that dimension, from heaven itself. You can see them by how they behave. So if that temple in heaven is measured, if the altar in heaven is measured, then the behavior down here will reflect that. These people will be influenced from above. Is that so, saints? Everybody here is influenced from above or from beneath. Don't forget that. Everything about you. I was going to show you the other scripture. I think I read it last time. Acts chapter 13, I think. He says, when they were speaking about Christ and being crucified, he says, when they had done everything that the scripture that was written about him, then they took his body from this tree and put him in the grave. Only when they'd done everything that was written about him. That's the only time they could bury him. Before that was done, before every chapter of your life is written and done, they won't take you. Death can't take you. Because your life is measured. Your experiences are measured. The things that you're supposed to go through are measured. And what does God want you to do? He wants you to believe so as you walk with Him. He doesn't want you to doubt Him. He wants you to only believe that my life is measured. My experiences are governed. And God has put them in the spoken word here. And put them in the Bible here. The things concerning my life. That's why when I read the spoken word, when I read the Bible, I'm reading about myself. I must see myself in the word. Like that woman saw it, Auntie Jemima, saw herself and said, Mama, that's me. Where is your Elijah? Where was that put in the spoken words? For you and me. When your experiences and your life matches up with what's in the Bible, then you can ask for certain things to be done. God bless you.
They're standing off it. Another round of applause. I want to thank the Lord so much tonight. And also Pastor Juma. That the Lord will speak to our hearts. Our life being measured. Aren't you glad, my brother, my sister, to realize that if your life is measured, therefore nothing will happen outside that which was measured by the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Even if death is looking at you right in your eye, nothing will happen to you.
Amen.
Until and unless God has allowed that to happen.
Amen.
And He is so particular and specific, He knows your name.
Mm.
I have a Father.
Oh,
He
God.
Knows my name.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Just think that one is I ask Brother Campion, come
thank
close
you,
to the word of prayer. Just one verse.
Thank you, Lord.
He knows my name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.